5 o'clock, we'll call the meeting, after town council meeting, October 12th, 2021, to order. First thing is we'll call for pledge of allegiance. Bronson, would you lead us in that, please? Audience, please rise.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Bronson. Before we do adoption of the agenda, I would like to make one change on the agenda. Underneath section 12, we have building permit issue with lots 224 and 225 located in Michaela's Landing. I would like to move that ongoing business after executive session, after we come out of executive session. Are there any other changes proposed by the council due to the agenda in front of us? Jeff?
No.
Abby?
No.
Will?
No.
Cody?
No.
So then I would call for a motion to adopt the agenda as it stands for October 12, 2021.
So moved.
Seconded?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. Underneath the consent agenda items, we can vote them on as collectively or we can pull them apart. I make a motion that we vote them collectively to approve minutes from the regular town Afton council meeting held September 14th, 2021. Approve business licenses and building permits issued through September 14th, 2021. And approve of the town bills for a period ending September 30th, 2021. I call for that motion.
So moved.
Seconded?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, so underneath delegations, we'll go into our first one, the special use permit. In essence, shipping containers within an R1 district. Violet, would you lead us into the basic narrative of that, and then we'll continue?
There's just a special use permit application submitted to come before council for shipping storage containers to be located in R1 district on 2nd Avenue. And I believe that the applicants are here today if you want to have them present their justification for the application and then as well as ask for any public comment.
Okay, we'll move forward with that. Which one do you want to present?
I'll start.
Come on up. Mr. Hansen.
Permission to put this somewhere on the...
Hey, you can set it right there anywhere you want.
It's all right?
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
That's fine.
All right. Well, thanks for letting us introduce this to the council. Appreciate the opportunity. What you see here in front of us is simply a computer. It does specific program. It sits in a data center. Is there a way to project some photos to the TV through this process?
If you want to just AirPlay.
Sure.
It'll be under Samsung 8.
Samsung 8. Okay.
I'll probably just pick one of them, but...
Do I have to be on the Wi-Fi?
Yes.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. You can connect to Town of Afton Guest. You should have to get to a secure network. Are they the pictures that you submitted in your application, or are they...
No,
different?
These are separate pictures.
Okay.
I'm not sure if the TV is on the guest version of that or not.
I
several photos in here, and website that explains much of what we have here. I have a few extra copies if anyone else is interested in those. Leaves me a ton of copies, so if you don't mind me sharing with you, that would be great. So if you go through these, you're gonna see one is the location, and two is some images of what one of these centers actually looks like. The images that I would share are also to show how it looks like inside of the containers, but then I also want to point out how these containers look on the outside. A lot of us look at shipping containers and we think about the beat up ones that come from China on a boat, and they've been dinged and dented, and they're not painted well, they're not repainted, they're not well taken care of. And we, of course, want to make sure that that isn't the eyesore that everyone would be afraid of on a structure like this. We are not interested in placing something that becomes a distraction from, you know, the town that both Tom and I grew up in, but a community that we come back to often and are invested in, you know, from where we grew up and where we expect to be back in the future. And so the interest in Afton is partially because of the relationship that we have with Lower Valley Energy and an opportunity to partner with them. We've discussed many options and for several weeks have reviewed how the options are a benefit to the community itself. What this does is you'll see these units right here in a container like what you're seeing in these packets. We'll have anywhere between 200 and 400 of these units. They're simply, it doesn't take much bandwidth from an internet standpoint, but from a power utilization standpoint, they are power heavy. So what that does for the power company is it creates a stabilization of rates. We've negotiated and we have mitigated all risk to the point of, we have agreed to prepaying bills to a point where now, because we become one of the larger consumers of power inside of the community, definitely inside of the city of Afton, that we would even use more power in a couple of these containers than the hospital would. It seems quite fascinating that that's the case, but at the end of the day, this is for us to be able to install computing power, and the connectivity that we have through Silver Star, as well as through the power and what they are able to supply us there at the Afton substation and several other locations throughout Star Valley, is really the attraction of a data processing center such as this. So the other images that I wanted to show are very much what you see in the packet, and want to make sure that we're not placing just anything that is ugly, but for all intents and purposes, these are very professionally designed, engineered, and structured containers. And unfortunately, they are categorized with a shipping container that does not have the same appeal. We've explored other options and have permission from Lower Valley Energy to do an improvement on their property, if that is privacy slats, to remove the visibility of the interior of the property, then we are open to that option. At the end of the day, we want to install infrastructure that provides this data center. It is not going to increase traffic. In fact, our data centers are almost 100% remotely tapped into. We do not need to frequent the property often. It is an installation of these units, and then we are able to remotely fix and troubleshoot about 98% of the issues that we address when we work on these on the units themselves and the connectivity that they have inside of them. Tom, do you have anything else that you need to address that maybe I'm failing to?
Our biggest concern is, again, we started this business about 5 years ago. We've got these containers in Pennsylvania, in Georgia, a couple other places. We want to bring it back to Abbott if possible. We do not want to make anybody upset. See, from Merritt here, he's like a second father to me, so we do not want to upset people. It's a great opportunity. Each container would profit the town about $50,000 a month. That's how much we pay for those containers for the power. If we can bring that back to Athens, bring that back to this location, we'd love to. We're scouting the United States all the time, trying to find a place to put them in. That's why Colter and I came together to kind of figure out how to bring it back to Star Valley, bring it back to this community, if it's possible. Like I said, biggest thing is we do not want to upset anybody, cause any climate problems, but if it could benefit the town of Afton, we'd love to do that.
Okay.
Just in closing, I guess, of kind of the main remarks is, at the end of the day, we have an expansion, a plan to be able to work with Lower Valley Energy on more than just the Afton site. This Afton site becomes an entry into the relationship with Lower Valley Energy, to where, again, it goes back to the justification of the stabilization of rates. That improves what Lower Valley Energy calls their patronage certificates that is returned to their cooperative customers at the end of every year when they close out their nonprofit books. That's a benefit to everyone in the community because it increases profitability of the cooperative itself. And because of the agreements and the mitigation of risk that we have placed and committed to with Lower Valley Energy, we feel like that is, again, the benefit of the community. We expect that sites like this won't necessarily always be within city limits. And I had images also of the town site. From a visual standpoint, you don't see them as shown here, but the power lines, the fence, the power station itself already has its different appeal, and we don't feel like that is going to detract from it, but again, have solutions that we are ready to implement in order to proceed so that it isn't a distraction from the community. But hope that this can be an opportunity for us to bring this to the city of Afton, and then to other locations where power is readily available, close to other power stations, substations throughout Star Valley. Any questions?
Jeff?
None at this time.
Abby?
Well, I have a lot of questions, not necessarily for you specifically. This is just a whole new ballgame for me as far as the whole new world with the whole cryptocurrency stuff, and that it's mined. You know, I didn't even realize that. When you say that it stabilizes the rates through Lower Valley, how does it affect our constituents' rates? Do you think they will really see any change?
No, this is actually to benefit the community to keep the rates low. Okay. And we've talked to Lower Valley Energy and understand that is a primary agenda for them, is keeping the rates low. Because they have excess capacity, this simply is tapping into capacity that they have already invested in from an infrastructure standpoint. The additional benefit to Lower Valley Energy and to, you know, the town constituents is that we come in with the investment of the additional infrastructure above and beyond this Afton substation itself. And so because of that, that investment is not coming out of anyone's pocket other than us as a business. And so because of that investment, it's investing in additional infrastructure, additional value for Lower Valley Energy that they retain, even after if there were ever to be an expiration of the business relationship. So from a benefit standpoint, we can all, and you know, some might speculate, some might be firm in their beliefs of an inflationary market. Because of an inflationary market, that is something that a company like Lower Valley Energy has to consider. This is simply, from a stabilization standpoint, when you have more paying customers, you have a higher MOQ, or minimum order quantity. And when Lower Valley Energy is able to commit to Bonneville County to the buying power that they have, when we are able to add megawatts of power usage to that buying power, that makes them a more powerful player as a cooperative.
Perfect. That definitely answers that one. I read the initial letter, and now I've been looking for it on my computer and don't know where I saved it. How many units are you looking at putting there?
So within this substation, it can provide a maximum of 4 additional megawatts.
Right here. They show 4.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah.
4 yeah. Megawatts is the potential there. Doing some quick calculations, that's 800 to 1,000 units,
mm-hmm.
this size.
Okay.
Right? So that's the way that the proposal was done before, it was 3 initial containers plus an additional one in phase 2. What we're looking at is the potential of probably 2 and then a smaller one.
Okay.
So we'd be 3 containers.
Okay. Perfect. I think that's all I have right now.
Will?
How noisy are they?
So
each one of these fans is going to put off at a certain decibel level, then we have 800 of them.
Yeah, great question. So that's the reason for the container, is that it will actually reduce and mitigate that sound.
These containers look like they're vented and open on the sides through these doors.
Yes. Yeah, so what we do with that is, one is it will contain the primary noise that happens with these units. And then what it does is we will actually face them together, so that when we face that exterior ventilation, then that noise is then contained, and it will go upward rather than outward.
Do they know what decibel level they're going to emit, you know, for residents living across the street from these things?
Yeah, it won't be any greater than the transformers that sit at the substation. It would be lesser than those.
Cody?
I don't have any questions.
Okay. We will turn, we'll grab the audience now, we'll go to public comment, and then we'll look at it. If we can step into public comment, if you want to make a public comment, please come up to the stand and state your name for our record. Is there any public comment on this?
It's Brandon Carlson. I'm just wondering, could we lease a permit so that there's some revenue generated by the town rather than give away a permit? I know with these units, you guys are going to make quite a bit of money. So is it possible for the town to benefit from that?
That's a good question.
That's Fine. Just a comment. Just thinking about that.
Nope, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment?
Good evening. My name is... Sanderson. I'm the attorney for the Coral and Sanderson Trust, which is one of the property owners in this area. As it was, the packet that was presented to me seems very sparse. And I don't know, I guess I can ask council if this has been followed according to Title 17 for a special use permit. My recollection is it has to go through planning and zoning. Do we have any planning and zoning, or is that been changed?
Violet, answer to that?
So just for the audience's reference, the council had passed Ordinance 554 back in, I think it was 2006, which prohibited storage containers and things like this. Then back in 2016, the council had passed, or not even really passed, but just had relayed that they were willing to accept special use permits just specifically for storage containers on a case-by-case basis, but that they were to come to council and not go to
Okay.
We don't have any procedural outlines within Title 17 that
okay.
talk about special use permit.
Okay. proposed location is zoned as an R1 location. This is a residential single-family dwelling location. And I don't know, I'm going to ask this question to Violet. Do you want to wake up and look at that? Is that something you want to see in your front yard in a residential area? And I know they're saying, well, it's not a storage container. It's a modified storage container, but it still looks like a metal box that would be placed out basically in my client's front yard. And I know this is what they call a NIMBY argument, not in my backyard, but I refer you back to your own zoning. This is a residential area. This is not an appropriate use for a residential area. And I would even argue that they are asking for a special use permit, but what they're really asking for is a zoning variance on this, because they're asking to come in and run a commercial Bitcoin mining operation in a residential area. So, you know, we talk about the economic benefit of the project. Well, exactly how much revenue is there to the town of Afton? It may have a long-term effect of decreasing the power rates by, I don't know, I would say a de minimis amount, but what is the real economic effect? You don't have any facts or evidence on that. You have, well, it's going to be $50,000 a month, but what's the effect on the town of Afton? What benefit does the town of Afton have from that? And what benefit does that have to the residential people around? Does that benefit outweigh having to get up in the morning and look at that? Tom, you stepped in it. You don't want to upset people. Well, if that's your argument, you've upset people. And right there, it should be dismissed. Sometimes we shouldn't just look at things as their economic benefit. How many people is this going to employ? That's something. What's the tax basis that we get out? How do you figure tax basis on cryptocurrency that isn't really monitored by the federal government or the state government? I mean, how do we know what tax basis and what benefit it is? It goes back to, well, maybe your rates will go down. And what is the consumption, the electrical consumption of these things? This is one of the problems that's been faced throughout the whole United States. If you drive up through the Columbia River Gorge, you see all of these cryptocurrency mines along the Columbia River Gorge, and it's because they can get cheap power from the hydroelectric. But what is that benefiting us here? I think there are more appropriate locations, Lower Valley has them, that would be better suited for this type of operation. There's no provision here. What if crypto tanks? And if any of you listen to the news or listen to commentary on this kind of stuff, this is a nice idea in theory, but what happens when the United States federal government says, hey, we're not going to allow the use of crypto, we're going to come out with our own crypto, and all of a sudden these become not profitable or illegal to have, and there's no provision in there for immediate removal. How long will it sit there as a bankrupt company tries to figure out how to remove it from the property? They argued that they're going to reduce and mitigate. There's no facts as to actual decibel levels here. He says, well, it maybe will be the same as the transformer place. Well, we can hear the transformers from our house. And now if you're going to double that, now we're going to double the hearing from the transformers. So I guess I want to close with it's not that we're opposed to these kind of industries, because they are good industries for the area, for Afton, for Star Valley, but it's not something that you want to put in a residential area. And I don't think that the use of a special use permit to place something like this in a residential area is appropriate. When you're basically just shoehorning, a variance into the process without going
Mr. Sanderson. Mr. Hansen or Mr. Tuller, you come back, we'll ask questions, and then we'll move forward.
Do we have anybody else that
Oh, sir, is there any other public comment? Okay, I'll move forward. Oh, I thought there was.
I'm Robert Barrett. I've been a neighbor to the substation for 50 years. And when we put up with a number of the problems at the substation caused over the years, there was a lot of concern by people, and one of the main ones was the noise. And they eventually enclosed the substation area with a nice block enclosure. And then the area that they're talking about, putting in the containers, has in the past been a construction storage yard that has had piles of dirt and piles of pipe and all kinds of things like that. I don't think the containers would be a worse site than that. I think the containers would be unimproved. I do have some concerns about the noise, and with that many units running, there's going to be a heating and a cooling challenge depending on the time of the year. And so these containers need to be air conditioned in the summer and heated in the warm, kept warm in the winter. But I would have no objection to them, because I think it would be an improvement in what the yard is right now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Merritt. All right, I'll call for last opportunity public comment. We'll move forward. Jeff, anything to add to the conversation or questions that have not been answered? Okay, Abby?
Not necessarily any questions. I guess a comment from me would be that I don't feel like I have enough information at this time. Like, this is something I feel like I need to be educated more on to be able to make a decision. So.
Okay, Will? Yes?
Are we invited to respond to public comment?
Yeah, yes. Please come up. Yep, then we're going to do questions around the council, then you'll answer the questions for public comment and from the council.
Okay.
Go ahead, Will.
I have nothing.
Cody?
One of the comments was about how the noise is and the eyesore that it potentially could be. And the substation has been enclosed with a nice rock wall. Is that something Lower Valley may be interested in having them also put in, and would they be willing to build that up to protect that site and make it look better?
Sure. Well, so we've been talking with the Lower Valley Power, and understanding that brick wall was created so that would mitigate that sound. We've been already talking with some engineers, talking about expanding that, covering up, like Mr. Merritt said, is trying to make that look a little bit better. It used to be that storage place for power poles and stuff like that. So if we could make it look better and propose that to the city, hopefully we've written down some of the questions that they've had. Mr. Sanderson brought some great questions that we could bring back to the city and propose those. We'd be happy to do that.
I do have a question just on location. What's made this such the prime first have to be here in this spot location, because Lower Valley Energy has other locations. If you're talking about the use and the wattage and all the things that come into play for us as a nonprofit co-op, what's steering us to pick this spot in R1 right now?
Well, that was the first place that the Lower Valley said is ready to go. They're eager to, they could hook it up pretty quick. They've got other locations, and maybe we would start at some of the other locations, and then you could come out and see it, see what's going on, especially the noise, different things like this. I wish I could take you out to Pennsylvania, and you could stand right next to it, but I can't probably get you guys out there. But having that, with those containers, the one side is a filter. So the filter, the air goes through the one side. We would face them towards the creek. The actual ventilation of the system, those are very hot. And so when you have 396 in a container, that container has to have that ventilation. So the fans would be blowing the air and the noise out the other side. We have one in downtown Idle Falls. You can stand next to it. If you're standing in it, it's loud. If you're standing outside of it, 5 feet outside of it, there's really not that much. And we could get that decibel for you. We can record those things for you. Like we said, we don't want to upset people. We thought that was a great opportunity. We have other places come asking us to come to there, but Coulter and I are from here. If we can help out Afton in any way and create something for you, that would be great. As far as lowering the rates, talking with Lower Valley Power, it's not going to lower your rates. It's going to stabilize them. May hopefully make it so that you guys don't have to raise your rates in the near future. One of those containers runs as much electricity as ERMAC uses. And so a kilowatt of, I didn't know what that was 5 years ago, I understand now. So we're trying to kind of mitigate those kind of things. If we can pull that in, put those containers in there and make everybody happy, make it aesthetic so that everybody can drive by and they don't have to look in and see those kind of things. We're willing to do whatever we want, what you guys need from that to help you guys out with that too. So as far as being workable, trying to make everybody happy, because my dad still lives here, and so trying to make people with that. But again, we're just trying to bring that to Afton, to Star Valley. We've got those other locations, and maybe we'll start with another location, plug in a container. Then everybody can come out and tour it and see what it is, make sure that everybody's happy with that.
Okay, so I'll put all the facts together and then we will move on past this one. The facts, though, for taxable, for the town of Afton, in essence, that was a good question on taxes. There's not right now a tax collected that would go directly back to the town. Is that correct?
I don't know what the exact, I'd hate to say anything like that. I'd like to gather that information, bring it back to you.
Okay. So if, and I'm not the Bitcoin guy, but I would think that there's not a taxation collected, so there's not money coming back in essence to the town of Afton. So let's set aside in essence for the town here for a second, that the town of Afton in any capacity, if you guys were to put this at a different location on Lower Valley Energy, then all those other factors that we're looking at still stay in play. So, I mean, that's just, I want the fact there that they still stay in play. The only thing that would bring it into the town limits would be then employment, which then if this is actually done 98% offsite, then I don't know if the employment factor, in essence, we bring business to the town of Afton, is in play here. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Can I answer that question?
Yes.
So from an employment standpoint, we certainly have to have somebody here and available to be able to plug or unplug a unit in the rare case that the unit needs a hard reset. So we've already talked to and have prospects in regards to employing an individual or having multiple individuals that would be basically on call in the event that one of these units goes down. So is it going to be a huge employment opportunity? Yeah, actually, from a standpoint of what we install from an infrastructure standpoint, there's several hundred thousand dollars worth of infrastructure that has to be invested in a community. That means our contractors are being employed. That means Lower Valley Energy is being employed and the resources that they have. And so from a standpoint of employment, a direct W-2 employee is going to be a minor factor, but from an employment standpoint, long-term, is that we have infrastructure costs that we most definitely will be buying from and investing from the community itself. To answer, I think other questions that were important too, what's the motivation for this site? It's controlled and owned by Lower Valley Energy. It is their property, and they're motivated to pick up an account that can spend $50,000 plus to buy power from them. And so the utilization of that site no longer being a place where power poles, maybe it's working trucks, maybe it's broken down trucks, but it's a place, it's kind of an overflow site for them. And so to talk about the detraction from the area, I believe that Mr. Merritt addressed that well, is that it doesn't change how much it detracts from the area itself. I think that it's important to talk about commerce in itself. Any business can fail, whether it's global economic factors or local factors. It could be from the standpoint of somebody just simply doesn't know how to run a business. We've been operating under the same structure for 5+ years. We know what we're doing. And because of that knowledge and expertise, we're not novice to what it means to a community, what it's meant to Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Eastern Idaho. We have several sites that are also in the works. We're working with Fall River in Eastern Idaho, as well as Rocky Mountain Power, as well as Lower Valley Energy to find sites outside of Afton. Is this the only solution? It's not. But because we are diversified across many, many places throughout the states, that means that diversification is also an additional protection to this site as well. So let's say in the event that it were to fail, again, we've mitigated those risks for Lower Valley Energy. There is a zero loss factor on their behalf, meaning it doesn't affect any of your constituents and how that would impact them from a financial standpoint. In regards to a residential area, it could be argued that a substation that is sitting on and in that very site is supplying power to commerce itself. We have very many commercial businesses that Afton substation supplies power to. Why not have a place immediately adjacent to the substation?
Can I comment on that one?
Yeah, sure.
You're a consumer, they're a provider. So that's the difference, right? Between what you're trying to do and what they do. Correct?
Yes.
Correct. So I don't think it's fair to compare what you're doing with what Lower Valley's doing, because they're there.
And they're operating under non-conforming usage clause that was there before.
So I'm just okay. Want to clarify.
Sure. That fair little. Point. Thank you. In regards to the decibels and the fence that was put immediately around the substation itself, again, I think that's been addressed and believe that we are ready and willing to put that kind of structure if that's the proposal of the town in an effort to pass something like this and bring it to our community.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any follow-up? And then we will actually call for a motion. Within this motion, I call for a motion. You'll have to make the motion. Yes, please.
I just wanted, so obviously the special use permit that we currently have that was passed by council back in 2016 was specific to storage containers specifically. They're saying that this is not a storage container because it's just something that houses these computers, and for that reason, I don't know that this would be the application or the way for them to seek approval to do what they're doing. I agree that there is potentially needs to be a variance process followed. I think in doing that, it would allow for us to have the information that we ask the questions about and give a little bit more context to their project specifically. the offset of the projected inflated rates for the rest of the consumers of patronage of Lower Valley Energy. The power draw of what they're proposing to put in, according to Jim Webb, is 2 megawatts. Our current peak load for the whole of Star Valley is 230 megawatts. I asked if there was any concerns in regards to if that would, you know, lead to rolling blackouts or whatever conspiracy theorists today are concerned about. He said no, it really wouldn't, because they have more power to provide. So that's good to know. He did also state that, you know, obviously they're not going to get involved, and it's the town's decision and what we want to see there. But that they were agreeable to allow for them to install a brick wall around it, similar to what's at the substation. Those are my administrative comments on this. As a resident across the street, although I do somewhat agree with Robert that it is kind of a dumping ground for Lower Valley Energy at times, I do enjoy seeing the wildlife that is able to scurry around there, but it's not my property and I can't control what's being done there. I just want to make sure that we're reviewing this and legally allowing for this. And I think the variance process might be a better way to do that.
Okay, so then if we're talking shifting what this looks like, then tell me what happens with what we're doing right tonight. If we're shipping away from the special use permit, because we're not calling these shipping containers, which they look like shipping containers to me, and we're talking about a variance process, the variance process, is that entailing making this not an R1 district? Is that what the net difference would be?
A variance provides relief sought by what's strictly laid out in the regulations in the zoning district, so the permitted uses. So that's anybody that wants to do something that's deviated from what's already permitted within an R1 district has to apply for a variance to do so, which is what I feel they're doing in this scenario. They're essentially attempting to place something commercial in an R1 district. And so if this was anybody else, if this was going to be, you know, not just similarly looking storage units, if this was going to be structures placed there or built there, then that's what we would require. Also, there's not enough information, I think, on this, you know, on this site plan. It doesn't talk about how far they're going to be. You know, the floodplain is right there in Swift Creek, and our ordinances as well in the town of Afton states that you have to be 100 feet away from the away from the floodplain to build. Obviously, this isn't going to be a build. This is going to be a placement of some sorts, but I think that you guys would probably be open to ensuring that you're not in the floodplain or near it. But that's another thing I think we need to consider. Anything else in this area that has previously been built in the floodplain is operating under the non-conforming usage clause, which is basically, in layman's term, they've been grandfathered in.
Okay, so moving forward with what we have in front of us, we table the word special use permit and they come back with the variance, or do we move forward in calling for a motion to approve or deny this special use permit? That's where I'm struggling
you
with.
First of all, you need to call for a motion on whether or not you're going to even accept this application. You can approve or deny it based on what the council feels. If you feel as though you need to move forward with a variance process to seek out more information on this or properly go about this, then
Mayor, you may recall, and the clerk may recall, I think we're the only ones in the room who were also in the room in 2016 when this was kind of hashed out. There was a business in town that really wanted one of these storage containers. There was a member of the council that advocated for them, and they eventually found a way to have a storage container. There was a lot of discussion about the process going forward, my recommendation at the time was to modify either the existing town code to take this into account somehow, or modify the ordinance that basically just flat out restricts them. There was discussion back then about accepting variance applications for these, and then for whatever reason, I don't remember why, but it's in the minutes, there was a motion to rescind direction for variance and instead replace that with a
special use permit application that would come before the council directly. I do remember that it was very important to the council at that time that these decisions not be made by the administrator, not be made by planning and zoning, but instead be made by the town council. And I also recall that there was a lot of discussion about the permits, the special use permits being limited in time. Although I don't see that, I don't see that in these minutes or in the application. But you know, to Mr. Sanderson's point, I think the only thing that you can find in the code that's really clear is an application for variance. You certainly can read into the code a special use intent, and so I think you're fine either way. You could grant it, but if you want to be on more solid ground and have more information, I think Council Member Abby, is probably, I would have to agree with her instinct, and that may be the way to go. So, Mayor, if that's hopeful, that's what I can tell you.
Everybody's talking to me, but nobody's telling me what the motion's going to be. So we have a lot of talk and not a motion. So I'm calling for one of the council members to propose the motion that will encompass this special use permit, table it, move it forward, or deny it. So I call for that motion.
I make the motion to table. Do we have more information?
Okay. Second it?
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. It has been tabled.
Can I ask? I was just going to say, would you mind sending us like the address of your location in Idaho Falls? Because that's close enough. Most of us are in Idaho Falls. I'd love to go.
Sure.
Stand outside of it. Because I have a Silver Star cabinet in front of my house, and the air conditioner is not quiet. So I'm just kind of curious. I know you're probably running AC all the time, even in the winter.
No AC.
No AC? You don't generate enough heat that you need an air conditioner?
A lot of heat. It's just a wind tunnel. So you're just blowing the air out.
Okay.
You just use atmospheric air no matter what temperature it is to blow through. You're not trying to cool. If it's 100 degrees outside, you're not trying
so
to cool that
if,
off.
If it's hot outside, the louvers open up, and it just the air just goes out. If during the winter, when it's 65 below here, then the louvers crank down, and that heat inside just keeps it warm.
Okay.
The machines run more effectively about 70 degrees, and so those the louvers keep that.
I think that bodes well for more information, just because I was under the understanding that they were air conditioned, and but you're telling me that they're not. So that change, yeah, that's a sound issue right there. So I think that's why we're asking for a little bit more information.
What additional information is just important to the council?
What questions needed?
Yeah, what information that you would like to see?
And how you would like for us to communicate to the council those requests?
Well, I think we've identified noise, we've identified power draw, we've identified Lower Valley Energy accepting this on their site. I'm probably still stuck back in the concept, if we're not using a special use permit, we're using a variance, then you would come back with the variance application, not with the special use application. I give personal issue that, and I have on the other shipping containers within our city limits, they are shipping containers. I gave issue on 6th Avenue that they're apartments now, that I voted nay. They're shipping containers with windows cut in there and an AC unit on the end. A shipping container is designed and modified. This is the structure of a shipping container. In fact, it was manufactured at the time as a shipping container, then modified for a different use. Be it an apartment, be it a restaurant, be something. They're still shipping containers. I do have a question that's going to be up next month when we talk about what's going to happen in an R1 district. So that really is residential. And I always come back to the question that I'm asking you. You don't have to answer today. If the benefit is to Lower Valley Energy, which is a benefit to us as the consumer, everybody in this room, there has to be an adaptable site that Lower Valley Energy owns that's not in the middle of an R1 district. So I would say at this time we'll move forward. No other questions to submit? Jeff, Abby?
Well, I just wonder if we think that it should be a variance application at this time, do we need to, I guess, retract tabling it and just deny it and ask for variance? No.
They can simply decide to submit a variance application tomorrow or next week or whatever. We're fine. We just never take this up again.
Okay.
Will, anything to add?
No.
Cody? Okay, so I would move us along to the next meeting item, and this has been tabled by motion. They can resubmit special use permit, or they can resubmit a variance based upon their choice. Sunrise Engineering Street Project update. Come up, Mr. Kennington.
Thanks, you guys.
We're just going to table it next month for a decision.
They'll have to reapply.
But it doesn't have to.
It doesn't have to. If they, just like Dale said, if they decide to send a variance,
I would encourage them to submit a variance application.
Lisa, do you have a suggestion then?
Well, no, that's why I just asked Brandon if we could just leave something tabled. It just seems normally we need to make a decision.
Oh, we leave things tabled all the time. Every month we have things tabled for sure.
But then the next.
But then, yeah, I don't think these do they need so okay. So do we normally we make a motion to deny it so they know whether to come back and apply for one, or am I just being?
It's tabled so they have the potential to have this passed or denied next month.
Or they can retract it and submit something different. Correct.
Correct. We did the same thing with Mr. Arbus. We tabled it. He came back. He
and pulled it off.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Well, he did. Yeah, he pulled it off, but yep. We would have reviewed it and made a determination.
And we got to make some decision somewhere. I guess that's what by the
well, I think right now our decision is it's tabled.
The decision was to
that's
table
correct.
It for further review next week
yep.
or next month for decision to be made at that time.
Yep. And they can come back with this particular item, or they can submit a new application with a variance versus the special use permit. Good? Okay, we'll move forward. Mr. Kennington?
All right. David Kennington, Sunrise Engineering. Mayor and Council, thanks for having me here tonight. I'm here to give an update on the streets project for 2021. The contractor is nearly complete. He has a punch list that includes a valve collar and several gravel at three or four locations, fairly small locations next to driveways that he is working on. He'll be doing that this week, and once he's completed with that, the project will be finalized. You'll recall this was 4th Avenue, the east end of 4th Avenue, and also Madison between 5th and 6th, as well as some surface treatments with oil around the perimeter of town, 6th, Monroe, and Lincoln, and 2nd Avenue all received that. So this project has been measured, the quantities have been tabulated, and it looks like they will come in just slightly under the contractor's bid. He did not need as much road base for the road construction as was allowed for in the bid, so it'll be slightly, we anticipate it being slightly under the project. So that's my update. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to entertain those.
You're patient to hang out long enough to say that one sentence. I appreciate that.
And I will be, I'll stay, I'll stick around.
Okay. Jeff, do you have anything to add?
It's not on the list, but how about the water line, north water line?
The North Afton water line, the work on the spring is progressing this fall. The fabricator has been working. I think he will be done this week with making the parts that are going to be installed up there, and then they will be installed. And then the North Afton pipe work, think has been discussed that it will start in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Abby, anything?
Thank you.
Will?
Thanks.
Cody?
DMS Excavation, who received the bid or won the bid for the project, has actually already been moving some things up the canyon to be installed that have already been fabricated, so that's kind of underway as we speak. Because Will was actually asking earlier, how come those big boulders have been moved? Because he was afraid
they? Sorry, my mind somewhere. Did they have a completion date on that? The gates up there. Do we have a completion?
By November 15th.
November 15th.
Yeah, for the Flapper Gate system, yes.
Okay.
And then so he should be done in the next couple of weeks. And then we just have to have a quarterly draw against the SRF funding.
Okay.
To ensure that we don't lose our principal forgiveness, which we will be able to do. And then they can start the actual North Hampton pipeline in the spring.
Okay.
I have one question. Are they gonna close off hiking up to the spring to the public while they work on the Flapper Gate system? What's that gonna be?
We're gonna have to do that just to mitigate any, obviously, any liabilities or concerns with people up there with construction equipment. I mean, they don't have heavy equipment up there or anything like that. But just so that way there's, you know.
Okay. I just wonder if we need to put that in the newspaper or something, or where it might be for people who want to take horses up the other canyon instead of going up to the spring.
So obviously the trail up to, you know, basically over the bridge.
Yeah.
It won't need to be closed, but obviously the trail all the way up to the inlet of the spring or the intake will need to be closed.
No.
So unless people are trying to take their horses right up to the Flapper Gate system and the source of the spring, I don't think that's a concern. But.
Will they be improving that last section of trail while they're putting the Flapper Gate in?
I think Devin had assumed that there might be a little bit of work that needs to be done just to make it easier for him to get up and down from there, but that's not part of the contract for them to improve that. That trail right that goes up there has our transmission line is encased in concrete down from there. So there's not a lot of rehabbing you can do without tearing into that concrete. So
good questions. Anything else? Thank you, Mr. Kennington.
Thank you.
Violet, anything on town administration's report financial statements for September 2021?
We have our October financials here. Not much has changed. I just wanted to point out that we're still within range of our percentages. So obviously in revenue, it's always nice when this number here on our percentages is above 25% because we are 25% into the fiscal year. We are right on target for most of our expenditures as well in every category in every department. The only ones that always get a little bit concerning when you look at these, and it's just for the first few months of the fiscal year, is within our, I'll just scroll down to those really quick.
Call out at 6.
Enterprise funds for water and sewer. Just because all of our loans are due usually at the beginning of the fiscal year, so those are paid out before we have capture of the revenue that's coming back in. So it looks a little bit like we're upside down in those funds, but that's why. So I just wanted to point that out. So we did have the auditors here in August. I wasn't able to update you guys on that in September since I wasn't here at that meeting. They are set to come to the next month's council meeting to present our financials. Or to present the audit. Just gonna put one more section in here. I know we talked about this earlier as far as the golf course, but I just wanted to touch on this and show you guys, because I don't know if you really saw this. Oh, here's our water fund. So that's where you can kind of see that we're a little upside down because loans have been paid and the revenues haven't been completely captured for the fiscal year yet. This is probably making people sick. I'm scrolling through this on the big screen, so I apologize. Close your eyes for a minute. I just wanted to get to the golf course to let you guys see that.
Right there. Did I see golf?
Yeah, right here. Yep. So just in our golf course revenue, obviously our projected budget of revenues for the entire fiscal year is $150,000. Just in this year-to-date fiscal year, we've captured $142,959. So people are liking to golf.
Well.
Apparently, it's a good social distancing activity.
To put in perspective, I won't speak out of turn, just from what I understand, is the previous years, we then, in essence, had an up to $100,000 loss. with the transitional July 1 through June 30th and then everybody getting outside, our losses are close more to below the $40,000.
Mm-hmm. The audit will show like that we were close to about $36,000 last year, last fiscal year.
Which is a hard when we say of the word loss, but due to the fact that back in the day the golf course was losing $299 for the first 3 years of operation, and that transitional has the golf course is closed in, are grown in, it's picked up participation in COVID. So I would say as my perspective, I was here when I was losing $299. I'm happy to see that we're whittling that down to an essence below.
And then this number, that's the transfer to general fund, as you guys know, that's what we've already committed to on our budget. That's gonna be coming to supplement the golf course from the general fund. And so essentially, if you think about it in terms of last fiscal year, this number here is really only gonna come out to be 36 for last fiscal year. So although we have spent less, we've received more revenue at the golf course, so it looks good because the general fund only has to supplement by that much. I think it's also important to point out and think about the fact that we have a lot of outdated equipment there. So even though our costs will start to increase with updates and maintenance associated with those things. So we're kind of operating on borrowed time right now, I think. So just pointing that out. So that was all I wanted to just kind of update you guys on financial wise.
Any questions? Jeff?
No.
Abby?
No.
Will?
No.
Cody?
No.
Thank you, Violet. Mayor's report to council, I have nothing new to add. Number eight, town attorney report, anything to add?
The only thing that bring, as I mentioned to you last month, in the town code, it states that this meeting should start at 4 o'clock. And so, although it was discussed in a meeting that it would change to 5, it was at best a resolution, which can't change the code. So we suggest that we change that ordinance or replace that piece of the code with an ordinance that just allows the council to change the start time within the second Tuesday of every month by resolution. So if we want to do that on the first reading today, that would be a good idea.
Okay, and to bring everybody back up, we did that at council before when we were trying to accommodate. It's good. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when you say I missed what you said, were you just saying that we should change the code to state that at the council's discretion and they could set time based on resolution?
Yes.
Because then you guys can change it at any moment if we need to, just by a resolution.
Yeah, and still requiring resolution, so you can't just decide. And obviously there's notice requirements that have to be followed for each of the meetings. But yeah, this allows you flexibility if one of the council members has to work regularly at a certain time like that. I think that was previously what happened when council members had to work at 4 o'clock, so they pushed until 5. So changing it, first of all, we need to address it because right now
we should be having
this meeting should be starting at 4 o'clock. So we can pass on the first reading of it, change it.
Okay, Jeff, any thoughts? Thank you.
Thanks, great idea.
Abby?
Same.
Will?
Same.
Cody?
Yep.
Okay.
Same.
The only thing I would add is to make it the term flexible is I'd like to say we're already set at 5. We've been operating at 5 for the last multiple years. Is there any problem if we call then for resolution setting our time to operate at 5 p.m.?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't pass a resolution that alters the code or is contrary to the code. And the code as it stands today says we need a 4 o'clock.
Sorry, I used the wrong word. I wasn't, or a resolution wasn't the word, ordinance. So in essence, we'd go through the reading process. So next month, we start at 4 o'clock. I would say yes, because we're going to follow what we're going to follow what we're saying. The ordinance. Ordinance says, and then we'll put it on one of ours to then change that ordinance to go to 5 o'clock.
Code.
I would say if we're going to violate our own rule, we're going to follow change the rule. So 4 o'clock, yes?
I'm sorry that I was for pleasure one day reading the code.
That's okay.
Across this needed change.
I think if it's written, we follow.
So is it within our realms per state statute that we could pass first reading tonight on that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we could pass
absolutely.
First reading right. And then the next.
I think, and that's what I would suggest. That puts us third reading in December.
Question?
Clarification?
Can't the council have an emergency reading on readings second and third? If they were passed first at night?
Yeah.
It could be done before December if you were anxious.
We could, but is this an emergency?
I wouldn't be able to attend probably any other
So that's
reading.
An emergency.
These two. Yeah, we don't have a council.
Yeah, if there was not a quorum. Sounds like it might be an emergency.
You guys, you're killing me tonight. Absolutely killing me tonight. Okay, so I call for a motion. Go ahead and make a motion.
I'll make that motion to, or so moved, I guess, would be the term.
669 is your ordinance number. Okay, so ordinance 669 to be amended on an emergency process to move it to the meeting time to 5 p.m. Is that correct?
Or 5 p.m. or by resolution of
so
the council.
I guess that needs to be the clarification. Do you want to set it that you're allowed to change by resolution,
yeah.
Or do you want the ordinance to say 5 o'clock?
I think we want to do it for changing by resolution. Otherwise, you're going to have this issue in 4 years and the next council forgets that.
Yeah, just
okay, so then the motion states ordinance 669 to 5 o'clock or change by resolution. I'm waiting for somebody to tell me this is an emergency motion.
I believe it's an emergency motion because we have had situations where it's just been two council members and I've been one of those and I wouldn't be here, so we can't have a quorum.
Okay. That answers the question. First and second. Call for the motion or call for first, call for a second.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Mr. Taylor, anything else you want to add to this?
Did you read anything?
I'll bring some more goodies next
month.
No, that's
so limiting agenda we've got.
So next month's not at 4 o'clock.
So then for clarification, do we need to meet next week or next month at 4 o'clock?
I would say if you're gonna follow
because we don't have a third reading on this, that's when the third reading would be and then so
I would say yes.
So I think that we need to
okay.
As of this point I will be here.
I will be here.
I will be here.
So we'll have a quorum.
And we could, if you had a second to call in.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So we'll start at 4 and then proceed.
You don't.
We'll have a quorum. Any new business brought before the council? I know continuing business. I did have the word correspondence, but it also had to do with Lower Valley Energy. This letter from Rick Knorr. In regards to the presentation we saw tonight, anything else to add to that, Violet? Okay, ongoing items from previous council meetings, Star on the Hill project update. Go ahead, Violet.
So because I wasn't here last month to update you guys, I don't know if everybody's aware, but we do actually have a permit in hand for the Star project.
We should clap for that.
Still just have those couple of names that I proposed previously. I don't know if you guys have any new members. So that's where
we're at. Do we have a construction window on that permit? Did they give us 2 years?
Two
did they give us, is
it
open? Or
years.
Is it open yet? Ended?
It's,
that would be nice.
I think it was 2 years or more. Two or three. I'll just read.
I think it's usually right at the front, right? I just want to know if we
and it's just the window. I think the 2 year window is just construction has to start, not be finished. Let me go all the way to the top.
permit shall expire at 12/31/2050, approximately 29 years from the date of issuance.
But there's usually a construction.
There's a construction window that we have to meet, I think. The previous one had.
Right there.
Yeah, so construction.
Shall commence and shall be completed by 2023.
So November 3rd, 2023 is when we have to complete it by. So that gives us a couple of years. I talked to them earlier, a couple of weeks ago, I talked to Kara Purser, who's the issuing permitter for the local office, and she just wants us to give her updates as far as what our timeline is. We just need to be updating them on what that is as soon as we know. We do have, along with the permit, Exhibit A, which gives us our map of the area that we're going to be putting the start, as well as the power line phase, which kind of gives a map of a generalized location of where we can. So it's not like we can come here and make it diagonal and all crazy, so.
We have permission from the source that we're going down to the power. Do we have permission across property and permission within?
We still need to tie up that easement.
Okay.
Because that goes across Dex Gardner's property, verbally gave me permission, and or verbally said he was open to the idea of granting us an easement, so we go across the property there from the Silver Star Tower, because that's where we're going to be getting the power from.
The Silver Star are going to charge us?
No.
Okay.
They've agreed to share the power with us, which was part of the permitting process as well. We have
okay.
So just for those that aren't aware, so the Star on the Hill it's on Forest Service property, and there was no, for a long time, there's been no clear real person, I wouldn't say owner, but
entity
responsible for that. So the town decided to obtain the special use permit to have that up there. So the town has taken responsibility for the Star on the Hill, and the plan moving forward is to take power up to the Star so it can be lit, and to actually rehab and replace the Star itself with a more sturdy permanent structure that will last hopefully past 2050, and we'll just get a new permit.
Okay. Any other discussion? Any other questions? Yes.
Are we still looking for committee members for that?
Yes.
Yes. Perfect. That's discussion of committee members is the next agenda item. We'll put you on there. I'm sorry, you have to remind me of names.
Michael Horn, HORN.
Thank you. Discussion of committee members for also then the park master plan. Violet, you have anything to add to either one of those?
I don't. We're just still trying to make sure that we can get enough committee members to meetings scheduled in November. I believe it's on November 3rd and 4th.
Correct. No, the bottom of the agenda.
Okay,
you're right.
4th.
Yep.
I can do the park plan also.
Anybody else?
Do you have some more boards?
As many as you want.
No, I was.
He's.
And for those that are here, that's a public meeting. If you don't want to be on the board, but you want to come bring input, we bring input.
And then just as far as the park master plan, we had discussed that we were going to reach out to a surveyor to help us with properly mapping and making sure that we have an updated plat of the parks to ensure that we can move forward with a master plan based on the topography, any recorded easements, I guess, throughout the property and all of that. So I believe Marlo's still working on that for us. I talked to him a couple weeks ago on it. I'm not sure where we're at on his list.
We're in our queue to fly.
Okay.
Or we get the snow. Definitely on the ground. I mean, next week is supposed to be a good week.
Okay.
Well, and I think with the meetings being public, if we have some public participants, maybe we'll get some more people on board to be on the committee. It's hard to know who's interested until we have people there.
But anyways, part of the master park or the plan, the park master plan, sorry, we were going to gain a survey from Marlo so we have an updated plat showing us everything in the location, and then we were going to reach out to
an engineer.
Yeah.
that's good.
in architect to see what we could do there. So that's where we're still at in the process. But those two meetings are scheduled, so they have been, or they...
Yeah, they will
be advertised starting tomorrow, so...
Okay.
That's where we're at with those.
Awesome. Okay, and I'd just like to point out, at the end of the agenda, we've been showing goals 1, 2, and 3, which is then these are heading right into the goals that we agreed to. Which I think all these meetings are driving us to that direction. Okay, so then we're skipping number C. We moved it in the agenda to after the executive session. So D, Mr. Spencer Burke, discussion of possible exchange of property at golf course. I do not see him here tonight. Violet, are you representing or have any follow-up with that?
I'm not exactly sure what the complete discussion was at last council meeting, since I was unavailable to be here, but I do know that you guys wanted to hear from Bryce Burton. So I do have some information or some opinions and findings from him. So just for anybody who wasn't here for last month, that's the request for swapping of property. So this is land to be purchased by Spencer Burke and traded to the town of Afton for him to gain this piece here from us, which is currently part of the golf course. And Bryce Burton, he just sent me this. He's actually out of training, so I'm just going to pull up what he sent me. I don't know how blurry this is going to be. It's going to be really blurry. But he just said that after looking over the irrigation system near lots 32 and 48, he sees no reason that any of the town infrastructure will be in the way of the land that's wanting to be traded. In his opinion and experience, it will be a case of six in one hand and half a dozen in the other. He says, I see no reason that the land trade couldn't happen if that's the way the town leans. It shouldn't affect the maintenance practices currently employed. So I think that's, you guys wanted to hear from him what his thoughts were, and that's what his thoughts were. So.
Okay, so council, looking at this, you would literally then, in essence, trade 1,877 square feet, if I read that SF correctly, mm-hmm. for 1,877 square feet. It does square off both pieces, but I'm interested in comments, directions, or ideas. Jeff?
No, particularly if it's not affecting any kind of play on the golf course, but and as long as the town doesn't incur any costs in this process.
Okay, Abby.
I think that we'd asked if there was any proof or verification that this had happened before, and that we had actually traded property with somebody at one point.
So there was a piece of property similar to this that was traded. It wasn't necessarily traded before, but replatted. I'm not sure the exact reasoning behind that. Marlo did the plat for that one.
Yeah, we did. As I recall, and you're right, Abby, and Mr. Burke didn't follow up with me, mm-hmm. so I did not do the research, but it was a trade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Previous one that changed 48 to have the corner cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was with Harris Thompson.
Mm.
He owned lot 48. And this was like 6 or 7 years ago. There would be some minutes.
Thank you.
So it was that recent ago?
Do you remember when that was done, Marlo?
I can get you an exact date, Violet.
Year, though.
Yeah,
I'm thinking 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
I can go back and find it then. So that would have been the third filing, or the fourth filing is the one that fixed
yes.
this up. The fourth filing?
No, you said third or fourth, and I said yes.
Okay.
I will look at it in the morning and give you an exact, and it has a date on the plot. We can get you the exact date.
Okay.
And I can get you a copy of the plot.
Okay. Abby, any thoughts, questions? Concerns? Will?
No, I think the property that they're trying to swap is used by the golf course. I think it's actually maintained by the Lampies anyway, so I don't think it's really affecting the town.
So lot 32, so this little line,
So we're not trading with Spencer Burke right now, is it today? We're trading with Alan Lampy.
Well, their purchase is contingent upon the approval of us doing this, so it will be after the fact with Spencer Burke.
I think Mr. Burke has a contract with Lampy for that little piece.
Contingent upon.
Kind of be a three-way, I guess.
Yeah.
But then he would pick that up and then trade with you, is what my understanding is of that transaction.
It sounded messier to me, but okay.
I didn't realize from the previous minutes of last month's meeting that you guys wanted to understand the justification for why this went away in the first place. So I'll go back to the original application and see, and I can bring that next month. So
I appreciate that.
Although we'll be basically tabling this discussion again until the next month or a determination on this. Spencer Burke is also not here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he say something about being able to place his home on this property forces it north because of this corner?
It's mm-hmm. the setbacks.
Yeah, it's the setbacks on the property.
Well, this irrigation line right here, so this is an irrigation
yeah.
line, so Dry Creek irrigation, and so there is a huge easement here that they have to stay out of, so he can't build right here. So the way that this lot is currently structured, as you can see, it has this little weird point here, so he can't build really anything over here. And so I think his thought is if he gains this little piece of property, then he can put a
shed
over here,
yep.
or shed
yeah.
or whatever it is
yep.
that he's looking to do. But
yeah, it's just constraints in the house.
I would just from an administrative standpoint just caution against you to start doing land swaps.
I'm in your camp, so
precedent or something like this, but I don't know what legal had advised you guys on this as of last month.
Cody, go ahead.
Well, if Mr. Lampy's already taken care of that piece that we're gonna acquire, is there any concerns with now us taking care of that and not being to what Mr. Lampy's standards are, and then Mr. Lampy then trying to take care of that property again? And
well, it's our property, he's gotta stay off of it.
Right, but
that's what we do. I mean, then it's our property and he has no say in what it looks like. As long as we're in keeping with our own code.
He may mow it just so it looks mm-hmm. nice. I don't know if Bryce
probably
can mow over there.
So that would be my only question, is if we have any concerns with that.
Dan, and when I met with Spencer Burke one-on-one here in the office, the thing that was kind of intriguing to me is he kept saying this word precedence. And he was trying to use this previous Parrish Thompson trade or deal or swap or whatever the final was. So he was already trying to use that as a forcing item. And I just don't appreciate, in essence, somebody using the word precedent so they can get what they want at the time they want it. So this benefits landowner, not necessarily the town. It squares off two pieces of property, which then becomes aesthetically pleasing, but it doesn't mean it changes our cost or our value of the golf course if we do or don't do this. So if we're going to then, in essence, table this for one more month, then we would bring this up next month with the facts and findings of the situation. And then I would ask that this actually becomes an agenda item, not an ongoing item from previous council, that we can then make a motion and move or deny and pull this off of our agendas. Any concerns with that, Jeff? Sorry.
I was just gonna say, what's the, per state statute, what's the availability or allowability for us to just land swap with people from a legal standpoint? What was your guys' recommendation on that last month as legal counsel?
I don't remember.
Sorry, Dale, you're coming right into this.
Yeah.
But I think this map
okay.
probably jumped in.
Oh, this is the land swap, yeah. I'd have to go, you certainly can swap land. I don't recall just off the top of my head what the statutory requirements are for it, if they're the same as selling land or whether a swap is allowed without going through that process, but we can certainly get you an answer.
I would appreciate that. If
yeah.
this requires a public hearing, if
yeah.
this is different than when we sell properties for businesses, it's just stay within the state statute. Mr. Carlson?
Can't the town just sell that to him instead of him buying Lampy's property and swapping it?
We can. We would then follow the listing in the paper and sealed bids.
Okay,
and, yeah.
So it would be sold to anybody that wants
correct.
To.
Correct. Yeah,
okay.
Correct. Yeah.
It wouldn't really make sense for somebody to buy that unless he was willing to give him easement access.
Or vice versa. may create a whole new conversation for us a different day. I would like to then have this tabled with the facts and findings brought to the council next month. I do ask, though, with the after the facts and findings, and if Mr. Burke comes to this to present his side, I would say that I would really prefer to make this an agenda item, not then just ongoing business, so we can move forward.
And what process is a land swap? Like, how is that, like, as far on our end, is it done through ordinance or resolution? Like, what?
It can be a resolution.
Oh, a resolution,
yeah.
Okay. I guess an ordinance.
Mm-hmm. It would be a resolution, so long
okay.
as we're comfortable that we're satisfying any state law, it would
mm-hmm.
be by resolution, and then the mayor would, then the council would, in that resolution, would authorize the mayor to sign the warranty deed and
mm-hmm.
whatever the title company might require, and then the mayor signs the deed and any other documents, and the transaction is just like a private landowner transaction.
Okay, thank you.
We've done that before. We sold a hospital, their building back to them, and some other parcels I think we sold as well.
But I would also, as we talk next month, just to remember, I would like to put that any cost will be conveyed
mm-hmm.
to Mr. Burke if
mm-hmm.
this goes forward. So.
And then we'll have the attorneys figure out what statutorily we have to do as far as procedurally for land swap, and if we need to hold a public hearing, we need to make sure that we have ample time to advertise for that. So.
Thank you. Okay, so I would say setting this one aside, nothing further, we'll move on.
I'll make a motion to table this
okay.
until next month and move it to an agenda item to be addressed in the regular agenda. And
thank you, Jeff. Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you.
If you talk to him, I'd like to know why. What's the justification of the line swap other than just making it look square? It's a third of an acre.
He
know,
said
get
it
the
was
easement.
For the setback, so he could build
the
so
shed.
I just,
yeah.
I missed that meeting.
Oh,
you know,
oh
so
I'm
that
sorry.
I wasn't
Jeff,
here,
I
you know, so I didn't get to hear a lot of that. So even if we had a little presentation on what the...
He was going to in that corner. It allowed him to put a shed back there and meet setbacks because when it's squared off at 45,
right.
he can't fit anything down the side. Mr. Sherbel?
Just a comment on if this was to be approved, then you realize this is a boundary adjustment, would be an amended plot. I mean, it doesn't just end with
yeah.
your vote. We'd have to go through planning and zoning, et cetera.
With simple subdivision,
approved,
just a boundary adjustment.
Yeah.
Back to the council and then some exchange of deeds.
I would push that back to Mr. Burke to follow through with all the paperwork,
right.
but yes.
Okay,
so Robert's Rules of Orders, I just wanted to talk about this every month. This will be on here. We use, I say, loosely, Robert's Rules of Orders sometimes, myself being included with that loosely. And underneath the Robert's Rules of Orders, we in essence have a majority vote. That's what we do with membership five council membership. If we have then an opportunity, a couple just questions. If we have a tie vote, which we've had before, what is the rules, Robert's Rules of Order, on that motion? Jeff, any thought? If we have a tie vote.
Well, my thought would be that there's been no decision made, that it is like the motion hasn't, you know, it hasn't been passed and it hasn't been denied. Or if it does it default, I don't know if it defaults one way or two denied, because there's no majority.
Very good. That's exactly the correct. If there is no majority, because we're voting as a majority caucus at the five council, if you do not have, you have a tied vote, then it always then fails because you do not exceed the majority ruling for a vote. Because we've had a couple of times where we've kind of had that awkward moment where we're all trying to decide. So just because two of us agree and two of us disagree, what happens with what's happening in front of us? We did not meet the majority vote, so then whatever we're talking about, that motion, it dies. So then it would then, we table it or follow up, but it will not move forward. As I guess in essence, I say defeated, the motion is defeated. So, very good. Any other questions or thoughts? I'll pick one a month.
But
yes.
Can I ask you another question on that? But you could continue the discussion and then submit the motion again.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Mayor, I was looking for the land swap things when you first started your hypothetical. Okay. I just want to make sure I understand. So was your hypothetical, mm-hmm. we're only four members of the council? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Status quo prevails.
Right. And yeah, we've had that before where there's been four and we hit that.
No action.
We hit that tie vote and we all just kind of look at each other. And so I just really would like to talk about Robert's Rules each month, a particular different item, so then it becomes within our minds understanding. I did learn something in a larger, more than 12, the chair or the person in this place is actually the mayor just by what we have for statute, but they would vote, and if they created a tie, then they would cast the vote to break that tie. And we don't have that. So we're not 12 or more, so we're not playing that way. But literally at five, so we just want to talk about if we come to a tie. So in the back of our minds is we have one of us gone, and we move forward with motions, and we hit that. I want all of us just to remember that the motion failed. And Jeff, you're absolutely correct. We can come at it a different way. We can call for more comment. Then we can go into a different call for a different motion. And even one of the motion is to try it again, or the motion when actually even to defeat it, to deny the motion. Violet, any thoughts as we teach ourselves on this process?
I would just, if you want to continue to do a council training section within the agenda every month, I just would verify or double check with council that this is the appropriate place for it on the agenda. And
Jeff, thoughts?
No, I think it's appropriate because I think even the audience can benefit from keeping track of how we should be understanding how we should be.
Not meaning like I wasn't meaning like it needs to be done in executive session because
no,
it's outside of the realm.
No, it doesn't work in that anyway. No, I'm just like thinking where it is in the order of the agenda. I think it's fine.
Okay, Abby.
I agree.
I will.
I like it.
Cody.
I like it.
I did it to the end, so those who want to stay here this long, die hard. They got to enjoy it this much too, so that's the only reason I did it at the end.
Good council members.
Yep. Okay, so then we actually at a time we do not go into executive session often, which I think is a good thing. I would ask that we call for a motion though to go into executive session, which would clear the chambers for the intent of legal issues. So I call for that motion.
So moved.
Seconded.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. We will then in 5 minutes adjourn into legal session and clear the chambers. We will come back out of legal session, announce that, then we will open the chambers back up. So at this time we have a 5-minute recess and we'll go into executive session. So.